Welcome into the whole show, powered by Chevron, live from the Aloe Fiber Studios. Thanks for being with us today. We've got a jam-packed show. Absolutely crazy. Really looking forward to this one. We've got, well, a cool event we're talking about going on at Shields, great sponsor of this program. They've got a UNC event going on this afternoon or this evening. And we'll talk to Janae Burrich about that, marketing director over at Shields. So we're looking forward to that chat. Ed Werder going to join the show. ESPN ESPN reporter. Yeah. Susan and Cheryl love them some Ed Werder. Because he has something in common with Angel and I and Tanner Schwint. He is a graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. And he covered, well, normally he covers the NFL. But he did cover the Buffs game on Saturday. And, of course, Ed Werder was the guy that primetime called out. He was the one that he was looking at. We've got the clip, but saying, hey, do you believe now? And Ed's going to come on and talk to us about that. So I'm really excited about that chat. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, will join me as he does on Wednesdays. He had an amazing call on Saturday. And then Cody Tucker with 7220sports.com talking Wyoming Cowboys, their big win over the weekend. And what they got coming up this week. So it's busy. It's busy. This is the time of year. My favorite time of the year. Now, I'm a football guy, but my team, my number one team, of course, is the Denver Nuggets. But this is the best time of the year to talk sports because it's football. It's college football. We've got the NFL starting up tomorrow night, Kansas City and Detroit. Questions around the Chiefs already. Start this thing off. And then, of course, you get into the weekend, and we're finally going to see what Sean Payton and Russell Wilson have in store for us. And it sounds like Sean Payton had some interesting things to say, at least talking about how he addressed Russell Wilson and the Twitter thing and the threes and all of that. In fact, that's part of our good, the bad, the ugly, Angel. Let's get right to it. The good, the bad, the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. For more, go to fmsbank.com/KFKA. And I'm going to say this is a good story for me, is basically Sean Payton, according to so many outlets, ESPN especially, Sean Payton said this is what he told Russell Wilson in the offseason. He said, stop focusing so much on Russell Incorporated. And then he said, will you blanking stop kissing all the babies? You're not running for public office. I like it. I've gone back and forth on Sean Payton on a few things, but this is what we've all been saying, is that if Russ can tone down that noise, the external noise that he's creating, then maybe the media attention wouldn't be so negative and distracting for Russ and company. So we'll get into more of that later on, but yeah, go with the good on that one. The bad for me is AT&T Sportsnet, Rocky Mountain, is shutting down, leaving the Rockies broadcast in limbo for 2024, according to sources. Would Altitude Sports pick this up? There's a possibility, but Altitude, of course, has their own issues with Comcast and Dish Network. How are the four people going to be able to watch the Rockies games next year? Tanner and one of his cows. And Tanner again. And sometimes me. And maybe you, Angel? No. I watch some Rockies. I'm not watching Rockies anymore. You lose me, Rocks. If you're not relevant, by the time we get into late August, I'm out the door. I would still love to watch the Rockies play baseball if they're in a situation where they're playing for something. But right now, we're moving on. The quest for 100 is the only thing I'm interested in. But it sounds like they're going to have to find a new TV partner or broadcast partner next season. That's a rough look for the Colorado Rockies. The ugly for me, this TCU linebacker had some interesting things to say. Johnny Hodges said yesterday in a press conference. He was talking about the team's performance against the Buffs, and, well, he basically said this, Angel.
I guess you can say it's a wake-up call. I don't know how losing in the national championship by 60 isn't a wake-up call, but right now we're definitely the laughing stock of college football, having 22 missed tackles, having who knows how many missed assignments, making our defensive coordinator look awful, just making his defense look like it's a childhood kid's defense and him getting all this slack. So if it's not a wake-up call, then I don't know what it is. So
TCU a laughing stock after losing to the Buffs? I the reason I say it's ugly is because that's basically saying losing to the Buffs is embarrassing. It was a great game. Take all your bias aside. 45-42, went down to the wire. It basically came down to who had the ball last, essentially. And it was back and forth. It was an amazing football game. So how do Buffs fans feel about that statement? Because he's basically, now again, he goes into detail about missed tackles and defense. Listen, defensively, they weren't very good last year either. They gave up a lot of scores, very similar to what we saw the Buffs get. But I thought that was, you know, basically saying losing to primetime and his Colorado Buffaloes makes you the laughing stock of college football. Portland State might have something to say about that. They lost 81-7. Or Clemson might have something to say about that. Yeah. I don't know. Portland State.
They're a Big Sky.
So yeah, give up 81, though.
It's FCS.
81? When's the last time the Bears gave up 81 points?
Wouldn't be shocked if they did.
Coming up week 3 against Washington State?
No.
70?
No.
60.
That's in 2 weeks.
50.
I'm not worried about Washington State.
You're worried about the toothpaste team, Incarnate Word. Sounds like a toothpaste.
They're a Christian school.
I'm not making fun of Christianity.
It's a reference to the Bible of some kind.
Incarnate Word? Mm-hmm. Okay. I've read the Bible. Don't recall a lot of that, but I've read backwards and front, I guess. Yeah. It's the Bears matchup coming up this weekend. We got to get into all that, too. Do the Bears have a shot Saturday?
I think so.
Yeah? We'll see.
They'll play better than last week.
They got to play better than last week. Put together some wins. Okay, 13 after the 11 o'clock hour. Let's talk about this event going on at Shields tonight, promoting the University of Northern Colorado. I'm looking forward to it. That's 5 o'clock tonight at Shields in Johnstown. On their first floor there, it's like in the college shop area, there's going to be opportunities to win free tickets and a bunch of cool things like a Ferris wheel ride for free and items that they're going to be giving away to UNC Bears fans tonight. So we'll talk to Janae about that coming up in just a moment. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
The Rocky Mountain Showdown returns on Saturday, September 16th. Primetime Buffs. The Rams Ford Air Raid. Join the discussion on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Matt Gaeter, color commentator for UNC Bears football and former UNC offensive lineman. You're listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Eighteen minutes after 11 o'clock, the UNC Bears have their home opener coming up this weekend against Incarnate Word. We'll see if the Bears can get a win, Ed Lamb's first win as the head coach of the UNC Bears. A fun event going on tonight to help promote the University of Northern Colorado at one of my favorite spots in Northern Colorado, and that's Shields. Joining me now, great friend of the show and the station's Janae Burrich, marketing leader for Shields. Janae, thank you so much for giving us some time. I'm really excited about this event going on tonight.
Yeah, thank you for having me. We are really looking forward to it as well.
You guys are doing such a great job in promoting the local teams in the area. I know you work with the preps teams and you work with the local colleges. I know you've got an event going on with CU and CSU and, of course, tonight with UNC. So I love it. I love everything that you guys are about. And this is just another feature that I think adds to that resume.
Yeah, thank you. We love getting involved in the community. I think that's one of the things that I love about Shields and being a part of this team is we get to partner with lots of the local schools and team sports and then the colleges. And football season is here, and we're excited for it.
Oh, boy, I know. We had the 0 week, the week one. There's so much going on, so much to chat about, so many big games coming up. And this is a big one for the UNC Bears as they're opening up their home slate this Saturday against Incarnate Word. So that should be an interesting battle there. But tonight, 5 to 7, you guys have something really cool going on to help promote the University of Northern Colorado.
Yeah, so as part of our partnership with the Bears, we get the opportunity to get 100 tickets to give away to the first home game. So we're doing kind of a fun UNC Bears Pride Night at Shields from 5 to 7 tonight. So we'll have Claus here, some of the cheer team members, and then the first 100 people to show up will get a free ticket to the game. We're also offering discounts on UNC fan gear as well to help people gear up.
Well, and you guys are offering the free Ferris wheel rides, too. I mean, I love that. That's an amazing. I love that feature inside Shields, too. It's amazing.
Yep. No, so people can come get some gear, ride the Ferris wheel, take some photos with Claus and cheer, and just hang out at Shields with us for a couple hours tonight.
I love this, too. Again, just these ideas that you guys are coming up with as far as promoting these schools. I know last time we had you in here, Janae, it's near and dear to you being able to promote the prep scene and the college scene.
Yeah, I haven't been an athlete all my life, you know, through high school and then, you know, college basketball. I love it. I think it added so much to my foundation, and that's a big thing now working with Shields is we're very passionate about supporting youth sports and, you know, kids and families, coaches, everyone involved in making sure that they have everything that they need and the funds to be able to do so.
An opportunity tonight. First 100 customers will receive a free ticket to the first UNC home football game coming up on Saturday, September 9th. You're giving out items to fans. And then, of course, that free Ferris wheel ride. Janae, it's going to be so much fun. It's going to be a blast out there to help promote this team.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it and hope we have a good turnout tonight.
All right. Is there anything else that we need to get out there before we let you go?
No, that's about it. We just look forward. It'll be probably by our west entrance is right now where we're planning on having them set up. So people can just swing on over. Again, completely free. Just got some free giveaways, free rides, and some free fun.
That west entrance. I gotta hammer that home because, you know, I did get lost out there before. So I got to let people know that. It's such a big place. There's so much going on. It's easy to just get lost in there, which is a good thing.
Yeah, you wouldn't be the first one.
Janae, thank you so much for this event tonight. Looking forward to it. And, of course, our partnership with you. We absolutely love Shields.
Yeah, I appreciate you taking the time, and we hope to see you tonight.
Okay, that sounds great. Thank you again for all you do, and looking forward to it.
All right, thanks. You too. Have a good one.
Janae Burrich, the marketing coordinator for Shields. 5 to 7 o'clock. They're going to be on that west side of Shields there, first floor. It's free to get in. So you just come in. I mean, obviously, free to walk in Shields anyway, but to go up and be a part of the event, they got cheerleaders going to be out there, Claus is going to be out there, and an opportunity to win tickets. First 100 customers will receive a free ticket to the first UNC home game coming up on Saturday as the Bears take on Incarnate Word. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day is available at the wholeshow.com. That's the wholeshow.com. And it's kind of stemming from the conversation yesterday. Is Coach Prime good for college football? Now, I already had somebody text who I know is a Buffs fan. Said, I can tell you this, there's nothing bad about what he's doing. Listen, bad is an interesting term to use with this. Is he doing anything illegal, anything like that, anything shady? No. None of that stuff's going on. But the question, listen, do I think he's going to motivate guys to play? Yeah. I watched the video after the game, the post game, and he's talking to his team, and he said, we're not coming, and the whole group said, we're here. I got goosebumps. I love it. I think he's going to recruit great players to this area, to Boulder in particular. That's all good. He's entertaining as hell. He's fun to watch. And I've always been a fan of characters in sports because that's why we, you know, if everybody just got up, handed the football to the referee and was boring and they were all robots, then it would be just that. It would be boring. I loved Coach Prime when he played. He had style. Some didn't like it, but I always loved it. That style that he carried with him, that swag. And he's doing the same thing in college football. We've just never seen anything like it. So ultimately, my answer is yes, he's good for college football. there are some things that I think eventually will need to get ironed out. We're going to have Ed Werder on the program in about 5 minutes. I don't like that. I'm all for, hey, we know nobody believed in us and we keep, but the keeping the receipts thing, like, I just don't like this, the specific nature of anybody that picked us to lose on a weekly basis or this game, that game, whatever. I'm going to call you out in front of all of your peers on national television, because that was nationally televised, and embarrass you, and then not answer your question. He did not answer Ed's question. I'm curious what the question was. We'll find out. I wonder if Ed remembers what it is. Here, Angel, let's play that clip back. Just so you know, we're going to talk. You've probably seen it. It's all over the place now. But at the end of the game, primetime setting up for his post-game press conference, Ed Werder, who is he's going on his 26th year with ESPN, covering the NFL. Very well-respected guy. Ed Werder goes in to ask a question. Here's primetime's response.
What's up, boss? You believe now? You hold on. Hold on. Hold on. Oh, no. Do you believe that? Huh? Oh, no, no, no. I read through that bull junk you wrote. I read through that. I sifted through all that. Yeah. Oh, no. Come on. Do you believe? You don't believe. You just answered it. You don't believe. Next question.
Well, we'll find out what that question was going to be. Because Mr. Werder did not get that question off. So he's coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Ed Werder, NFL reporter for ESPN and a 1982 graduate of the University of Northern Colorado. Hope you'll continue to listen to the award-winning Hull Show, 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the whole show, powered by Chevron. Absolutely thrilled to have this next guest on the program. Longtime ESPN reporter for covering the NFL. I think he's going on his 26th year. UNC grad, by the way. Ed Werder joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. Ed, thank you so much for giving us some time today, my friend.
Is that a virtual standing ovation?
They are pumped for you, my friend. They are. They were like, Ed's coming on the show. Yeah, they were ready. They were here at like 6 in the morning, this live studio audience.
Just amazing. But we certainly appreciate their dedication.
Yes, they're good. They're okay at what they do. But they stepped up there in that moment. Ed, I saw the prime time going off in the press conference thing. I didn't know that was directed at you for a while, and then I started to see it on social media, and I was like, Ed Werder? I mean, you always are just this professional, amazing journalist. I've followed you for years, well before we had you on the program a while ago, and I was like, what could Ed Werder have possibly written or said or anything like that to have the press conference start off like that?
Yeah, I don't know, because I don't regularly cover college football. This was my first college game day assignment in, as you said, 26 years at ESPN. I've covered really pro football almost exclusively. And, of course, I have a pre-existing relationship with Dion, because I covered him when he was an NFL Hall of Fame player, and pretty closely when he was with the Dallas Cowboys for several years and helped them win the third Super Bowl. So I do know Dion. I tried to reach out to him to get some time with him in advance of the game and really never heard back. And ultimately, Troy Aikman, his former Cowboys teammate, did a sit-down interview with him and absolved me of that responsibility. But so I didn't really, you know, people were asking me, some Colorado people who were on the sidelines pregame, were asking me sort of, oh, you know, Dion, what's your relationship with him? And I said, well, I've had good and bad, and I really don't know, quite honestly, where I stand. I don't know how we left it. And I guess I found out afterward that it wasn't so great. But I did not expect, when I tried to ask a question, that he was going to turn the whole press conference on me. And it was not a comfortable situation to be in. And like I told Dan Patrick yesterday, it just did not seem journalistically appropriate in that situation for me to meet his demand and tell him, yes, I believe in you, Dion, whether I do or I don't. You know, and interacting with him, as I mentioned, as often as I have, I just couldn't imagine he thought that I was going to commit to a position, either position, because it would have been unprofessional to do so.
Well, I applaud you for standing your ground too. I don't know how a lot of people would have reacted in that situation, and you stood your ground and didn't say one way or the other, because you are, like you said, you have that journalistic integrity. You're not there to root for the Buffs. You're not there to believe, even if you do or don't. I think you've said that before. That's not your mission at that point in time. So I applaud you for standing your ground on that.
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, I just didn't know what else to do. I was really sort of, you don't prepare for that. I mean, you just react in the moment, and in reflection, I'm certainly happy I reacted in the way that I did. I wasn't, going to swear allegiance to Dion to get him to answer my question, which I never got out, quite honestly.
Yeah, I was going
to
ask you what your question was.
It wasn't going to be anything too hard. My question really in the moment was, and I think there have been five or six other inquiries at that point that he had responded to without incident. My question was really going to be, of all the incredible things that happened to you today and for your football program, what's the most meaningful thing to you? That's all I wanted to know. And instead it became a larger than life situation. And, I don't know what prompted it. Dan Patrick, when I talked to him yesterday, he speculated that he was maybe reacting more to ESPN in general than he was to me. Other people have cited a tweet I posted back in March. I'm active on social media, and because of my history in Colorado, growing up in Longmont, going to high school there, I applied to CU, got accepted to CU, chose to go to Northern Colorado, graduated from there, worked at the Boulder Daily Camera for 5 years, did some Colorado football games when Bill McCartney was there. So I did tweet, Colorado's celebrity football coach has made CU Buffs football the most interesting program in the country. It's number two in merchandise sales. Folsom Field suites are sold out, and season ticket renewal rate is 97%. Deion Sanders has created attention before his first win. So some people have pointed to that as the reason that he was upset with me, citing in particular my reference to him as a celebrity coach. I don't see how that he would find that offensive. He is a celebrity. Without question, go to Shields in Johnstown and look at the wall of merchandise that they're selling with Prime logos, Colorado Buffs logos, Deion Sanders, slogans. It was not meant in a negative context, and I think he'd be more offended if I didn't think he was a celebrity.
Yeah, that's what, because I read that tweet too, Ed, and I was like, I mean, those are facts. If he doesn't like being called a celebrity, that's how he presents himself. We all know who he is, whether you watched him play football in the 90s or not. We all know the name, Deion Sanders or Primetime. Everybody does, regardless of the age. So if that's the thing, because, yeah, he referenced it and said, I read the bull junk that you wrote. And I'm like, well, what did
he
you
said,
write?
And he said, I sifted through all that as if there were voluminous amounts of it, when the reality is I haven't been a writer for more than 25 years.
Ed, so this is what's interesting to me, and again, Ed Werder joining us with ESPN, covered the game on Saturday between CU and TCU. My poll question today is this, is Prime Time, is Coach Prime, is he good for college football?
Yeah, I think he's great for college football. I think the ratings for their performance at TCU reflect that. He's able to command national television attention, as we saw in the aftermath of that game. I mean, look at the people that did sit-downs with him. Aaron Andrews, who covers, NFL, did a sit-down with him. Like I said, Troy Aikman did a sit-down with him for ESPN. He was on the Pat McAfee show. He's on everything. And he can get on everything because he's that interesting a personality. He always has something to say. And then you combine that with the, new age approach he's taken in terms of the transfer portal and completely rebuilding, the Colorado program almost overnight. I think he's fascinating. I think he's good for college football. I asked, I sat in Sonny Dykes' office preparing for the game, and he said that Deion Sanders is great, for college football. And he said, Colorado made a bold hire, and Deion's done some bold things, and we'll see how it all turns out. But yeah, I think there's no question Deion Sanders is great for college football. I think he's already proven that. I think the reaction to him them winning a single game has been, you know, far beyond what it should be. I mean, it's not like he won a national championship. He won a game on the road. I know it was a historic performance for Colorado and should be celebrated as such, but it's one game. But yeah, I think he's great for college football.
And I agree with you. Most facets in looking at it, yes, he's great. He's entertaining. He's getting recruits. All this stuff is great. And, you know, winning football games and maybe going to bring this Buffs. And I think the way Colorado goes, if the Buffs are good, that's good for the rest of the state as far as college football. But, Ed, are there some things, though, what you experienced? I know our friend Brian Howell, who writes at the Daily Camera for Buff Zone, he got called out a few weeks ago as well. Is that the portion, though, that might be considered bad for college football, where now if you write something in a negative light, are you going to get called out for by him in a press conference in front of your peers, therefore leading folks to maybe not want to write anything negative about the Buffs, even if they lose a game?
Well, I just think that, you know, if you're a professional journalist and you're in the situation I'm in or the one you refer to, you know, you just can't be intimidated by somebody, and you still have to write the story the right way. And you know, unfortunately, Deion turned the whole thing with his postgame antics into more about Deion, and even though it distracted from the record-setting performance of his own son, Shador, the starting, you know, quarterback at Colorado, who threw for a record 510 yards. But, you know, I think Deion's talked about, you know, his part of his job is to prepare his players for the next level, those who have that kind of ability, and I think he'll certainly meet that obligation to prepare them to be, you know, good citizens, good productive citizens. I think he'll do that. As for, you know, Colorado fans, I think this is something different for them, and you can see the desperation to win. I think the school's done a lot to accommodate him that they haven't some of his predecessors. And Colorado people, some are going to roll their eyes sometimes at what he does in situations like what we're talking about right now. I mean, shouldn't we be talking about what a great performance had on the field?
Yeah.
And they follow it up instead? It's almost none of that. And that's just part of having Deion in the program. And I think the interesting thing will be if he doesn't win and he can't sustain this, you know, how do the more traditionalists among the Board of Regents and so forth, how did they view this kind of conduct or this kind of personality leading their football program?
Well, that's what was troublesome for me. And again, not to promote you too much, Ed, but there's just a lot of people that respect the heck out of you. So if it's like Ed Werder's getting called out for pretty much nothing, that I don't think is a good look. Ultimately, he's popular, though. He's going to get the recruits. They're probably going to win quite a few games during his time there, it looks like, if we're basing it off of what we saw against TCU. But I just think that's kind of the dangerous part of it is how we're going to handle the negative side, because we always see this with college football coaches. Yeah, sometimes guys blow up and they just kind of lose it, whatever. But for the most part, there is kind of an unwritten rule of how to handle those press conferences.
Coaches get away with almost everything if they win.
That's true.
And I think over time, Deion is going to win. I don't know how big he's going to win this year. He certainly, you know, created a great opportunity for having a successful first season at Colorado. Clearly, they have better players than they've had in the past, and they are going to get consistent attention. It'll be interesting to see what happens when they go up against, you know, USC in a few weeks. It's going to be interesting to see what happens Saturday against Nebraska, who, you know, they have a former NFL head coach in Matt Rhule coming into Boulder. But, I mean, Boulder's such a spectacular place. You combine that with how can Deion not get great players to Boulder? I mean, I always wondered when I worked at the Boulder Daily Camera, how does Oklahoma and Nebraska out-recruit Colorado? Have you been to this campus? It's one of the most beautiful campuses in the entire country. You combine that with Deion's magnetic personality and the way he engages with these kids, he's going to get great players, and he's going to win a lot of games, assuming he stays a long time.
Yeah, no, I tend to agree. I think they're going to find a way to bring some success into Boulder. Ed Werder joining us. We'll let you go soon here, Ed. Are you doing, you're back on the NFL beat this week, right, with the Cowboys and the Giants, right?
Well, this week I'm actually covering the game tomorrow night in Kansas City. Got here yesterday.
Awesome.
So a lot going on with this game as the Chiefs try to open defense of their Super Bowl championship. Might have to do it without two of their three best players. Travis Kelce hyperextending his knee yesterday. Kind of sounds like it's not a real serious injury. And if it comes down to pain tolerance and functionality, I think he'll probably play. And then, obviously, their best defensive player, Chris Jones, has been engaged in a long holdout here. And so he has a million-dollar decision to make tomorrow night as to whether he's going to continue that or he's going to try and make himself available to play. And they're opening against the Lions. So I'm actually covering the first NFL game of the season. The Lions are playing four primetime games, starting with the very first game in the league, which is unique for them.
Don't you? I mean, you got to just love all the storylines. They're just always there. I mean, you look at tomorrow night's game. Do the Chiefs have some injuries that are going in or, and some holdout situations? The Lions suddenly are America's sweetheart. It's never ending for you, Ed, and you do such a great job of painting that picture for us watching the NFL each and every week.
Yeah, they do keep it interesting at all times. And you're right, I do live in Dallas primarily, so I have been covering the Cowboys for most of 30 years. And win or lose, as long as they don't go 5-11 three straight years like they did under Dave Campo, ESPN is as fascinated in the machinations of the Cowboys as Jerry Jones is. So they get a lot of attention, and they create a lot of opportunities for me to do some reporting on a big stage.
Well, Ed, so much respect for you. Last second question here for you. Do you believe the Broncos are going to be a playoff team this year? What do you think of all the Sean Payton stuff with Russell Wilson?
Look, I think Sean Payton's one of the best coaches I've covered in 30 years. He really knows how to create a culture. He's the perfect hire for Russell Wilson. That's his presence and his proven ability with a smaller quarterback like Drew Brees is the very reason that when Russell Wilson was thinking about getting traded out of Seattle, he listed New Orleans as one of the teams he was willing to go to. That's when Sean Payton was still there as a coach. You know, I've talked to Drew Brees about what kind of fit he is for Denver, what kind of fit he is for Russell Wilson. And Drew Brees believes that Russell Wilson now, his best years are going to be coming forward, which is quite a statement, given that Russell Wilson's been to two Super Bowls, nearly won both, did win one of them. If his best years are ahead of him because of Sean Payton and what he's going to create for him in Denver, then, yeah, I think they're going to contend for the playoffs as soon as this year. The problem is the division.
Sure.
You got to beat the Chiefs. I think the Chargers are one of the most talented teams in all of football, and I think, you know, they could surprise some people. They made the playoffs last year and got eliminated by the Jaguars in a huge comeback by the Jaguars. But if that team stays healthy, they have as much talent as anybody in football. So that's the challenge for the Broncos, is within their own division, and they've got long losing streaks against almost all of these teams. I mean, total futility within the division. I think that will change under Sean Payton.
Yeah, it should be an exciting season for everybody, for those Buffaloes, for the Broncos. Ed, I didn't mean to ask if you believed if the Broncos were going to.
Did you use that word? I don't believe in anything. I don't know what I believe anymore.
Ed, so much respect for you, my friend. I know when we promoted you were coming on, so many people in this area were pumped for so many reasons, but obviously you being a UNC grad, it's really cool to see what you've accomplished in your career. Not many better, my friend. So thank you so much, and you just keep doing your thing because that's what's working.
Hey, thanks, Brady. I appreciate the offer to be on and enjoy talking with you as always.
All right, my friend. Ed Werder, longtime ESPN reporter covering the NFL. He's going on his 26th year. Interesting stuff from him. And he doesn't write. You know, so primetime calling him out and saying, I read that bull junk that you read. He called him a celebrity coach. Is that, I mean, Brian Howell was on with us yesterday and said he thought maybe that's what it was that he just called him a celebrity coach.
Well, I was going just through the comments on that post, and someone was like, you wouldn't call Nick Saban or Kirby Smart a celebrity coach.
They're not celebrity coaches.
Because they're not.
That's Nick Saban is famous for doing what?
Coaching.
That's it, right? Primetime was a baseball player, a professional baseball player, a professional football player at a high level, Hall of Fame level football player, Hall of Famer, I should say, sang a song, has a song out there. You can go Google that, go find that. He was on ESPN forever. He was on big time television forever. He was with Barstool Media for a couple of years, I think, signed with them. Yes, he is a celebrity. Is Peyton Manning a celebrity?
He is now.
Yeah, he's a celebrity. There's nothing wrong with that.
If he came back and started coaching, you'd say he's a celebrity coach.
He is also a celebrity coach. No question about it. That's I don't think
Deion Sanders needs these random fans on Twitter to come out and defend him either.
But it's nothing to defend. That's the thing. Like Brian Howell's tweet was nothing.
It's always been nothing.
Ed Werder's was nothing. I mean,
wait until they lose a game.
Wait until something happens. Wait until there's controversy, losing a game, or something off the field might happen. Again, when you have a football team of 80-plus student-athletes, there are times where maybe a student-athlete does something. Speeds, for example, gets a speeding ticket. What's going to happen when something negative comes out? Because nothing that we've talked about with Howell or Ed Werder has been negative.
Well, there can be nothing negative with them. There is nothing negative with them. It's always positive, sunshine, rainbows.
And Ed's right. We should be talking about Shador. That game Saturday, Angel, might be one of the biggest games in CU history. And I know they have a share of a national championship, but that game, for everything that went into it, the stats, the quarterback play, the two-way player and Travis Hunter, so many monster things happen in that game. Instead, it becomes a little bit about Ed Werder and some kind of beef that primetime has with him. That's crazy to me.
Well, there's almost no Ed Werder defenders out there. They're very rare to find because it's anything that this guy says is just perfect. It's beautiful what he says.
Mm-hmm.
Some things, yeah, I can agree with the hype up, the players, the way he interacts with them. That's cool. That's great. I like to see that.
Yep.
But it's the other stuff where he just steps over the line too much. It's like, you don't need to say that. I get
I'm
if it's trying to motivate
receipts.
Yourself or the team. And
this
like,
is the receipts.
Is he spending hours of every
yeah.
day reading
articles?
He's got
articles? A Rolodex of receipts he's keeping. I don't like that because that's a fan thing. I'm seeing all the, again, Denver people, Boulder people are like, we're keeping the receipts. It's sports.
Well, we've talked about, can he separate Deion Sanders from prime? Even when he's in a coaching sense in a press conference where he wants to be prime, but maybe you need to be Coach Sanders for a second and just start off your press conference with, hey, guys, yeah, that was fun, wasn't it?
Or being general about it. Like, hey, I know a lot of you guys out there in this room didn't believe in us, but hey, maybe you'll start believing now.
Is that what he needs to hear? A room full of reporters say, I believe in you, Deion Sanders.
Yeah. I'm glad that Ed stood his ground. That's a tough... How do you prepare for that? Let's read some text coming back on the other side. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. Ed Werder, that was sensational. Appreciate him giving us some time. He will be on the coverage for tomorrow's game. I didn't realize that, but he'll be back at it for all things Chiefs and Lions. First regular season NFL game coming up tomorrow night. We'll have it here on KFKA. Don't go anywhere. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
New coach, new quarterback, new era. The UNC Bears play on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is your UNC Bears head men's basketball coach, Steve Smiley, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA. Go Bears.
Welcome back into the whole show. I want to thank Steamway Floor to Ceiling, family-owned over 35 years. They got a 4,000-square-foot showroom with tile, luxury vinyl, hardwood, carpet, granite, cabinets, countertops, and more. Check out our friends at Steamway Floor to Ceiling. They're doing great things, and they've been doing it for a very, very long time. They also offer cleaning and restoration, too. Damage happens. It does. Flooding, whatever. Smoke, odor restoration, complete structure cleaning, duct cleaning, 24-hour emergency service. That's Steamway Floor to Ceiling. Check them out online at steamwayfloortoceiling.com. Dixon says, isn't it kind of hypocritical to get mad about being called a celebrity coach, but I want you to call me Coach Prime, my celebrity name, instead of Coach Sanders, my actual name. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. That's the thing. Like, he created a celebrity. He created primetime. That's a celebrity image that he is using to recruit big-time players to his program. That's the truth of it. And I don't think it's a negative to call him a celebrity coach. And now he's good at it. I mean, so far, so good. He's good at it. He was successful at Jackson State, and so far he is undefeated in the FBS. He said, Chris Brady, rabbit hole question. I say no, but would the rest of my Ram alumni have open arms to Coach Sanders? If CSU would have hired primetime, would they have liked that? Yeah.
I think anybody would.
I think anybody would like to have primetime as their head coach today. Now, when my question is he good for college football? It's not really a, would you want him to be your head coach? Because if you want to win football games, he seems to be, that seems to be the route to go. He said, Chris also says, who's the better commercial actor, Sanders or Saban? Who's going with there, Angel? Who's a better actor?
I'm going to go with Saban.
He's a better actor?
I think he's got
makes
that,
you believe in
he's
Geico?
He's got that kind of, you know, that kind of old man humor a little bit. He's a little sarcastic sometimes where he's like, I don't know. I've never won anything like that. And he just puts his hands up and he's got rings all over him. Like, he could be a little sarcastic sometimes. I like Saban in those commercials.
Maybe we'll have, they rename the national championship game to the Geico Bowl if Saban and Sanders meet in the national championship game.
I thought an elephant would be scarier.
People are already talking about Florida State and CU. Like how, because that's where he played college football, and he's, of course, has some interesting thoughts on Florida State.
It's week one. Calm down.
It's what we do, Angel. It's what
it's
we
not
do.
What I do.
It's what we do. It's football. You don't do that, so Alabama's not winning the national championship this year?
I won't say that after week one.
Well,
not publicly.
Being a radio guy, Angel, you can't say it after the fact. It doesn't do anybody any good. Second hour coming up next.